Hey, Glenn, are you familiar with the term look good, play good? It's something that NFL players believe in, Major League Baseball players believe in. Do you guys have that particular?
No, we don't.
You don't?
No, sorry.
I thought so. Hey, on today's episode, I am with the man, the big boss, Glenn James, and we are discussing Bitcoin. We're going to get into a little bit of the degen coins as well, but we want to focus on the granddaddy himself, Mr. Bitcoin. Focus on what's going on with it. Is there a future for Bitcoin and should you be a part of it? Glenn, you ready to go?
I'm so ready, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, let's get started. You're listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley, with Glenn James. Let's get into it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I know that you've got 3-5% of your net worth in Bitcoin, probably 300, but you don't like to tell people that.
Not quite, but no. Hey, I'm keen to have a chat on this old crypto thing.
Yeah, we were talking offline, and you know what? A few weeks ago, when we said, "Hey, we should probably have a little chat and talk about this," just because it's back. It's back, baby.
Did it ever go anywhere though? That's the thing.
Not to the true believers, it didn't. I've got some friends that are like truly, truly believers. They put me in on this WhatsApp chat like 4 years ago, and I've just basically ignored it because it wasn't fun, right? 2021 was a great time. You and I had some fun talking about some cryptos. We got in and out of a few different projects. And then 2022, just a whole lot of not fun.
Mm. Yeah, I was having a rant about crypto on This Is Money a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying, when we got into that project and, you know, I was doing like 900 US a day. And it's just like, this is
on not that much money.
It like, was ridiculous.
Not 900 on 100 grand. We're talking 900 on a small investment. Yeah,
it was like less than 10 grand. Like, it was just so wild. And, you know, I think I got out in the profit. And that's the, you know, this degen Web3 kind of stuff. It's wild. It's Ponzi scheme, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was, so just so we can catch everybody else up, like today we're talking Bitcoin. We are going to talk a little bit about some of the alternative coins, maybe even discuss what I would call a degen coin. But what you and I were dabbling in 2021 is probably the dark arts of the mythical, magic, fake banking, crypto, decentralized, I don't even know how else to describe it. It was gnarly out there.
It really was, and that's it. Like, it's very speculative. Like, yeah, it's honestly some of that stuff. It's basically a digital roulette table.
Yeah, and I think the good thing that kind of 2022 did was clean out a lot of that mess. Mm. Bitcoin is now back. So it's proven that there are a few legitimate digital currencies out there that can store value very well, that can be a source to put some of your net worth if that's something you want to get into. But if it looks and sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I remind myself every time I open up one of my old DeFi wallets and I still have 5,000 US dollars sitting in there trapped in a bankrupt company.
What company was that?
Do I even want to name it? It was based out of the UK and they were providing a very strong yield.
Oh, and was that yield nodes? Wait.
It was called yield nodes. And they still think they're doing something. They still email me. They have the gall to still email me saying, "Hey, we're working on hot stuff. NFTs are coming around the corner." It's like, okay, listen, you stole our money. Just go away. Just quit emailing me at this point. But 0.5% chance that I'm going to see that money back. But regardless, today we're talking about real digital currencies. Specifically, we're going to talk mainly about Bitcoin, kind of why it's back, maybe what's pumping the news if people haven't been paying attention, and then maybe some helpful hints about your risk allotment and just making sure you don't lose your shirt. So sound good?
Yeah, sounds so good.
All right, I kind of led the episode maybe with a little bit of a fib saying whatever your net worth in Bitcoin. I know it's small because you are a little less risky in regards to investments maybe than I am, more speculative investments at least. But do you mind sharing kind of what Bitcoin or what your digital wallet looks like?
Yeah, so I just did a rough calculation. I probably have 2-3% of my net worth in cryptocurrency, mainly Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I'm at like 4%, but my net worth is way smaller than yours. So it's a little easier to
stomach,
to get a little higher.
No, I think most of it's Bitcoin. I do have a little bit of Ripple and just a bit of fun, which is dangerous. I've just been doing a bit of almost swing trading, if you will, with some of meme coins like SHIB.
Okay. You're wetting the whistle. What do you got? What have you been in and out?
Well, like literally because – and this is the whole thing. Like I think what we've learned in the past however many years, you know, Bitcoin is the digital gold which the world is agreeing that that's what it is. And that's kind of – it's – boring. It's all the institutional wealth is going to Bitcoin. Like maybe some institutional wealth going to Ethereum, but you know, Bitcoin is the quote unquote gold standard for crypto. But for me, and you know, I've got to be careful with my personality. But yeah, I've just like so you see more of the daily swings on the rubbish coins, right? Now rubbish still might have $1 billion or more.
Yeah, for sure. Like yeah, they have huge market caps.
So probably even more, like $40 billion or something like that. But look, these are very small amounts of money that I kind of play with. And you know the number one time to buy a meme coin, Nick?
Before it gets popular?
No, no, the day after I buy one.
Oh.
Do you ever have
I know
that?
The...
Do you ever get
I
that?
Know the best time to sell a degen coin is when the most boring guy at the office or at church or wherever you're at, when like your father-in-law at the dinner table says, hey, I'm looking at Dogecoin.
Yeah.
Like that is your indicator. It's probably time to sell.
That's right.
When your father-in-law is talking about it. But I never buy right. I always only sell too early.
Yeah. I know I sold because I was playing with Doge as well the other day. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take my profit because, and this is the thing, you get led into this false sense. Like I did, I think 12% in 4 days, a couple of weeks ago, right? Which,
yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. For some reason in the crypto world, you're tempted like, oh, is that all? I'm going to hang in there. So I always like to bring it back to the real world. And it's like far out. I did 12, 13% in 4 days. I'm getting out of there. And then it goes up another 10%. And I'm like, yeah. Why did I do that? But we're not living in the real world with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. And proof of that is the fact that just 2 minutes ago, you said Bitcoin is boring. Like you're making the case for Bitcoin being the gold standard, which I do agree. Like I would rather, in fact, I'm invested in Bitcoin rather than gold.
Yeah.
But even for you to say Bitcoin's boring, what it was up like 150% year to date, like that's not boring. That's life changing if you've got enough in there.
Yeah, but who's going to I think I said this, I sent you a voice note the other day. I was like, I'm not cut out for this. I don't have the risk profile. I know I'm going to be kicking myself in about 5 years that I didn't sell a farm and put it into Bitcoin because it probably will double.
Yeah.
But there's a chance it won't.
There's a chance for everything. However, the case for Bitcoin, let's talk about why people like the case. So like Michael Saylor is one of the big names in Bitcoin. He owns, it's kind of a hedge fund now, I guess, MicroStrategy. It may have always been a hedge fund. I don't know if it converted, to be honest. But I know that he had just regular investments, regular company. In fact, they were a software company. That's what MicroStrat was just a regular software company. And he took tons of the cash that he had on his balance sheets and started buying Bitcoin in mass, like hundreds and hundreds of Bitcoin. And now he's converted his company fully. I don't think they're bugger software at all anymore. They want to be like a a Bitcoin, it's basically a different option to the ETF.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the ETF in a second, but they basically, if you wanted Bitcoin, but you didn't want to get a wallet and you didn't want to do digital and you just wanted exposure to it, you were basically buying MicroStrategies.
Mm.
And he's got a pretty good, I mean, he's got lots of things. If you want to look him up, Michael Saylor, there's a lot of good clips out there, but I saw a clip the other day where he was talking about his house in Palm Beach, which is down in Miami. It's a very expensive area. And his house was built in 1907. So it's an old house right on the beach. And he said the house was like $30,000 when it was built in 1907. Still an expensive house back then. He bought the house in 2007 for $10 million. Now, 17 years later, the house is valued at like $35 million. And he says, so what happened? Did this old house that hasn't had any, it's not gotten bigger, it's the same house, the same footprint, has that house appreciated that much since 1907? Or has your money deteriorated?
Mm.
And his thought there is Bitcoin is, in his eyes, something that's going to hold value, and it's anti-inflationary, where when you think of, a lot of times we think of like housing prices, and don't talk to John, he'll get upset at me about this, but like you can make money as your house goes up, but what you're not realizing is that is really inflation eating away your true Australian dollar or US dollar, whatever you're on, because you're able to buy less house. So it just costs more money. So you might make money as the investment. Truly, your money is being deflated as your house price is going up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but like the comment about inflation proof, that's the same comment as like physical gold, right?
Well, right now, we don't know how much gold is available to be mined in the world, or we know that there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin ever mined. And by mined, if you don't know, I don't want to get into the logistics of the mining, but people set up computers, which are used as the servers, and they get paid back in pieces of Bitcoin to help be a part of the server system. So one of the reasons, and let's get to this kind of point one, one of the reasons why Bitcoin's kind of going crazy right now is because we are approaching a halving. And a halving is when the amount of Bitcoin that the miners receive as payment for their computer services and their GPU software gets cut in half. And that's going to happen maybe by the time this episode airs, maybe the week after. It's supposed to be mid-April. But because it's like mathematical, we're not really sure of how many miners are coming on board or not.
And we are recording this on the 2nd of April.
2nd of April, Australia.
Yeah.
1st of April. Happy April Fools to my Americans.
Ooh. And for those who don't speak fluent American, Nick was saying halving.
Yes.
Halving. So basically, it means it gets more scarce to mine. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. And unlike gold, someone could find the world's biggest gold mine in, you know, Siberia or something. Mm. And then all of your gold is now worthless because this huge resource of gold became available, where Bitcoin is fixed. There will only ever be 21 million. That's all you're getting. When you look at there's 8 billion people in the world and there's only 21 million total Bitcoin. So if you divide the math up there, everybody could, in essence, get 0.0002 Bitcoin. So if you hold 0.1 Bitcoin, you're going to be one of the largest holders of Bitcoin the world has ever seen, with just 1/10 of a Bitcoin.
So I'm talking to a big Bitcoin holder right now, aren't I, Nick?
Oh, I'm a bag holding 0.15 right now.
Whoop, whoop.
But if you buy at the right price, you're feeling pretty good about that.
Absolutely.
Listen, I want, having fear of missing out, FOMO, is truly one of my like investing, it's almost like drives my daily personality, but I had a purchase order for a full Bitcoin at $16,250. And that was earlier this year, late last year. And it got down to like $16,320. Yeah. And I wasn't paying attention. Like, I had the money allocated and the order put. And it's going to hit. It's going to hit. Next thing I look up, it's 22. And I wuss out and I don't buy in at 22. And I wuss out. And then I ended up buying a little fraction at like 30 instead of a full one at 16. And I was like,
you are one pathetic loser.
Thank you.
No offense.
It's a great way to start my own podcast. Okay. So the halving's happening. The halving.
The halving.
And that is a big deal because every time that happens, Bitcoin enters a bull run. Like, money is being made. People are actively trading in and out of it. But really, as it gets more scarce, it hits people's radar. And every time you approach the halving, it gets to be more, it's on people's screens. There's a huge bull run. So I think we're experiencing that right now. You know, we're talking about just 16,000 just last year. Now, at the time of this recording, it's right around $71,000.
Right now, it's 69,700 US.
69,700. Still higher than 16 flat. So there is something to be said about when the Bitcoin halving happens. The other thing that's happening this year is the ETF. And I think that's what gives you prudence to call Bitcoin boring, because companies like BlackRock and Fidelity and a lot of the huge money managers, like companies that have more money than you know what to do with, are buying up Bitcoin, because as people like maybe you and me, even if you wanted to buy Bitcoin within your retirement, maybe you're super. Are you guys allowed to buy Bitcoin?
If you have a self-managed super fund, you can.
Okay. So like in America, I can, I self-manage all of my things. So I could buy that Bitcoin ETF. And every time I buy the Bitcoin ETF, BlackRock has to go out and buy real Bitcoin. So that's causing a lot of demand. BlackRock CEO said that Bitcoin ETF was the fastest growing ETF BlackRock had ever put out. So they gained more money every single day than any other fund that they'd ever created in the history of BlackRock, which is the biggest fund manager in the world.
Mm.
So that's quite a bit something.
And I will say, so in Australia, GlobalX have a Bitcoin ETF that you can buy here. It's domiciled in Australia and the ticker is EBTC. Now, this is an interesting thing. The management cost is 1.25%. So the MER is 1.25. Now, face value, that's an expensive ETF, right? Where if we have
in my view, yeah.
Yeah, like where if we have a look at the gold ETF, let's have a look at what the fees for the gold ETF. 0.4. So Global X's gold ETF is 0.4 and the Bitcoin one, which is the underlying assets or the custodian is Coinbase. And GlobalX's 21 shares Bitcoin ETF offers exposure to physical Bitcoin. So 21 shares, I was reading it somewhere. That's like a, I'm just going to see if I can bring it up. Why are they talking about? Yeah, about 21 shares. 21 shares was founded in 2018. He's one of the world's largest issuers of crypto exchange traded products, based in Zug, Switzerland. 21 shares is a pioneer of the cryptocurrency industry, having launched the world's first cryptocurrency ETF. So I think the advantage of using the ETF, Nick, is you don't have to have cold storage if you want optimum security, and you get that security through the ETF and you let the fund manager or the custodian such as Coinbase ensure those coins. So there's less chance of getting hacked. And if it does get hacked, it's not your problem.
Right. You probably, it's if you want to get the performance of the potential upside, but you don't want to deal with kind of some of the have your own wallet and things like that. It's a little bit like buying a real estate investment trust and not buying a piece of property.
Yeah. And you just pay for that through the 1.25%. So look, I don't think if you did want some exposure and you didn't want it and you already had a share and investing account, sure, like 1.25%, you've got exposure, you don't have to worry about getting an exchange or, you know, taking those coins offline into cold storage. Because I think cold storage, like you were talking about it the other day, about doing it for your kids.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if your cold storage device is corrupt? What happens if you lose it? What, like, for 1.25%?
Yeah, I still have a digital wallet for mine. I haven't gone cold storage yet because I'm afraid I would lose it.
Like, yeah.
I have a habit of moving houses every 3 or 4 years. So
yeah,
that guy in London who lost his cold storage,
and he's looking through the rubbish 10 dump.
10 years ago, is suing. He looked through the rubbish dump. He offered $1 million if anyone ever found it, and now he's suing the city. Obviously, he's going to lose most likely, but like, it's just like that's kind of what the panic that I would have. Like, where's my device?
Yeah. So all that.
Anyway.
Yeah. So with a bit of a sidebar, like, where to from here, Nicholas?
Yeah. Well, where to from here? I want to take a quick break so we can pay for this puppy. I'm going to give you a quick quiz when we get back and then kind of lay out the trend of Bitcoin, and then we'll give maybe 3 or 4 hints if people want to get invested, how they can do that, and what they should maybe do for a risk allotment.
Cool.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Glenn James about primarily Bitcoin, but we're going to get in a little bit of the degen and kind of what to look at if you are looking at getting into some alternative coins and kind of what the universe looks like out there. But I want to start with a quick quiz in related to housing and Bitcoin prices. You down for this, Glenn?
Not really, but let's go.
A house, an American kind of average house, in 2016 cost $288,000. How many Bitcoin was that? No, in 2016 prices.
Yeah. So you was, how much was the 216?
$288,000 house in 2016.
Okay. Let me.
How many Bitcoin would it cost to buy 16. That house? 644 Bitcoin.
Oh, I was way off. What was the
according
price?
According to the, well, you can do the math if you want. Yeah. 288,000 divided by 644.
Oh, it's $447.
So 8 years ago, you could have bought a Bitcoin for under $500. Okay, jump up to 2020. Doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's 4 years now. 2020, the average American house cost $328,000. In 2020 prices, how many Bitcoin was that house?
Oh, you're testing me. I would say 15.
45.
Oh, gosh.
So now in 2024, the American property market has got up. The average American house is now $434,000. How many Bitcoin to buy that house? Right, yeah, between 5 and 6, depending on the price of when this was put together.
Interesting.
So 8 years ago, you needed 644 Bitcoin to buy a house. 4 years ago, you needed 45. Today, you need 5 or 6. Bitcoin has proven, at least on that short term of value, to hold value very well. So as everything else, inflation's going up, housing prices are going up. Bitcoin, if you had that many Bitcoin, you're very happy because now you can just buy a bunch of houses.
I always still go back to the fact that we talk about gold and the digital gold of cryptocurrency, right? And, you know, full disclosure, I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about ever. But like, gold has an intrinsic value because the actual physical metal can be used to create product, right?
Sure.
But Bitcoin, the price, there is no intrinsic value. It's what society believe it is. That's the...
But that's basically the... Truly, what is gold worth? Gold can actually be made into jewelry, which you need people to decide they like yellow jewelry, or it can be turned into audio equipment plugs, basically. It is a soft... metal that isn't really good for anything else. You're not building bridges out of it. You're not building cars out of it. You're not building house heaters out of it. It looks pretty and it can make your audio equipment sound good. That's the basically intrinsic value. Like if Warren Buffett's giving you like the what is the worth of gold, it's like there's 2 to 5 cases, just, whatever.
Warren doesn't hold physical gold, does he?
No, he's an anti-gold tight.
And I'm going out on a limb, he doesn't hold Bitcoin.
You know Papa Buffett's probably got like a couple thousand in his back pocket.
Yeah, I reckon he does, just on the side.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah, no, he probably doesn't.
So quick trend. I want to talk about the quick trend, and this gets into the halving, and then we'll talk about maybe some ideas for people to go through. And I talked about this in an episode that I had done maybe 6 months ago, but kind of prepping people up. You know, hey, if you follow the show, and you're making your own decisions with some of the information that I'm divulging, you would have done well if you'd listened to that Bitcoin episode and bought some Bitcoin. I told people, full disclosure, that I was dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin. I wasn't really kind of trying to buy the dip. I was just hitting $300 a month until I kind of got enough Bitcoin where I wanted it. But what kind of got me back into it after that 2021 dip was looking at this trend.
Mm-hmm.
So from starting in 2011, you have three up years, 11, 12, 13 up.
Yep.
2014, down. Then you've got three up years, 15, 16, 17 were all up, 2018 down. 2019, 2021 up. Well, what happened in 22? Bitcoin down. So then I was leading out with, hey, 23 is looking like it's up. Now 24 is, we know, is going up. If it follows this trend, we have one more year of 2025 up before you can then expect 2026 to be a down year for Bitcoin. So all hope is not lost for you on the sidelines. If you don't have any Bitcoin exposure and you're looking, hey, how can I get into some crypto? Like, maybe they've made a good case and I think I want to get into Bitcoin. We want to leave you today with three, and then if Glenn's got a decent idea for a fourth, kind of tips of maybe how to get back into a meta level kind of Bitcoin. And the one thing is, like, Ray Dalio, who's a hedge fund investor, he's got a famous saying that cash is trash. He always wants to be invested in the markets. Like, he thinks if you've got money sitting on the sidelines, you're wasting it. As soon as you get that money, get fully invested. I would disagree with him on this particular point with crypto, because as you mentioned, it's going up and down, huge swings all the time. So if you're looking to get into Bitcoin, don't wait till it hits 71, 72,000 again. Like, literally just in this little run, Glenn, you and I have been texting, and you're up 15 hours ahead of me on my time frame. So I wake up to a text of, hey, Bitcoin hit 70,000, and I go, I'll give it a couple days and buy at 64. Well, guess what? It fell down to 63 and I added a little bit more.
Mm.
And now it's back up to what, 69, almost 70 again. Yeah. So having some cash on the sidelines is always a decent idea with Bitcoin. If you've got, let's say, $1,000 you want to invest, maybe put 333 in and then see what happens. And then 333 in a little bit later. And like, but if you're following the trend, again, past performance is not guaranteed results, but it looks pretty solid. Have some cash on the sidelines, maybe dollar cost average in a little bit, wait for a dip and kind of go from there.
I think back to the halving, this is the last time it halves, isn't it?
It'll be the last, like, real big.
Yeah.
So it'll continue to halve until, like, almost it's in, like, you can't even tell. Like, there will still be these smaller little ones every four or so years. They just won't have as much prominence as this one. And there'll be one other kind of big one, and this will be the biggest last one.
Of the 20, it's 21 million Bitcoins, right? Do we know when, like, the timeline when they're all mined? Like, how many have been mined? 19 million or do we know?
I think there's, we could if we had prepared a little bit better.
Mm.
I think there's going to be less than 2 million to mine after this halving.
Yeah, so I thought it was around, like, we're almost at the, you know, all Bitcoins in the market.
For the most part. But, I mean, that's the whole point of, like, when you divide things in half, you never actually get to that number.
Mm.
So, like in football, if you have half distance to the goal line and then half the distance to the goal line, you're just moving it, you know, centimeters at that point.
How long's a piece of string, Nick?
A piece of string?
Yeah. Haven't you heard that saying?
No.
Really?
Look at us. We're learning things.
Okay. So in Australia, there's this saying, if someone's like, well, what's the price of Bitcoin going to be next week? And then someone will be like, well, how long's a piece of string? It's like, it's just unknown.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I know the answer. Double its half.
It's going up. All right. So tip two, and we kind of touched on this, like, don't buy when it's nearing resistance. If you're not familiar with resistance levels, anytime it's approaching its all-time high, so like right now, the all-time high is going to be around 72,000 or so. As it's getting up, like, don't just jump in like thinking you're going to miss the boat. Wait for a little bit to fall back, because there are technical support levels below as well. Like, the support is basically what you would think of as a floor. So there's both psychological support levels, and if you want to do a little bit of work and pull a chart up, you can look at actual, like, what a level of support would be for Bitcoin to actually fall to.
Would you say the current level of support's probably around 60, 62, 63?
I would be shocked. Like if we're talking about in 2026,
yeah,
like for that next bear year. So if it has three good years, 23, 24, 25,
yeah,
I would be blown away if it got down below 50 again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm, yeah, you would probably think 60 is a pretty strong support next year.
Yeah, but like all day long, even over the last 3 months, you can tell that 70 is the resistance. Like it just keeps bouncing off that.
It gets up to 70 and then falls back down. Gets up to 70, falls back down.
And I will say, everyone, you've got to look at this stuff in US dollars, not in Australian dollars. I use CoinSpot and it shats me to tears that I can't change it to US dollars. So I've got to, I look on CoinGecko and then I go over to CoinSpot and buy it. It only shows in Australian dollars. Like, who cares that it's 100 and something thousand Australian dollars? Means nothing. You've got to look at crypto in USD.
We don't make the rules. We just follow them.
Exactly.
So yeah, so if it's approaching 70, just wait a little bit. It'll probably pop back down. You can get a little bit lower of a price. And then again, you're using some of that sideline cash. And then this is an important lesson that I think we all could have learned in 2021. Take some profits.
Like when,
let's say you put $1,000 in and that thousand has turned into, especially if you're doing an alternative coin, if you're in Shiba Inu or Dogecoin or even Solana or like Matic, some of the other kind of smaller altcoins, if you put in $1,000, it's at three, like maybe sell $1,000 off because now you're on free money. You can sleep better at night. You can ride the highs as they're going well. You can ride the lows as they're going bad because you're basically in a risk-free trade at that point.
So we do need to talk about Solana.
Do we?
I think
I'm willing.
It was funny. When I did my cryptocurrency course, like I shot it a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure I said Solana is probably going to be the most usable network because of the speed. And I forget what I was saying back then, but I'm actually bullish on Solana, noting I don't hold any at the moment. I just think in terms of use case, it's a better network than the Ethereum network. So just a sidebar as well. So Ethereum and Solana, they're effectively networks that you can build different protocols on and whatnot. So is BNB. Or the Binance. Is it Binance Coin or what do they call it?
Yeah. Yeah. BNB is like the ticker.
Yes.
Binance Coin.
So you can effectively create a meme coin on the Solana network or the Ethereum network or the Binance network or the AVAX network. And
yeah. And NFTs did the same. You could do NFTs on Sol or NFTs on Ethereum.
And that was the thing. Sol was, there was less congestion. It was a better network than Ethereum. It was faster, blah, blah, blah. So I still think
much cheaper if you wanted to buy a NFT or something. It was way cheaper on Solana than Ethereum.
Yeah. So the more I talk about this, the more like, and again, like Solana's at 192, which is just criminal. When I'm pretty sure when I did that crypto course, I should go back and have a look. I reckon Solana was probably, let me have a look. I reckon
October?
Maybe $30 or $60 a coin.
Christmas Day 2022, it was $9.99.
Yeah.
I think that's when I sold out my last 400 Solana.
Because you're like, I am done with this.
I do think I had like $500 of Solana to buy like some NFT projects I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is done. And I sold it. Now it's.
I've still got my. I've just bring up my Phantom wallet. I've still got Star Atlas coins. On Solana network.
How's that doing?
Not good. But I've got 2,000 coins and it's had a bit of a run, Solana. Star Atlas. But it means nothing because I've got nothing in there. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I think Solana, Bitcoin, they're all just a great lesson. We can wrap up with this. It's like, if you're going to get into it, only put in money that you can wipe your bottom with. Like it could evaporate. I don't think Bitcoin will, but you need to be able to go through some serious troughs. If you look at Solana on Halloween, October 31st, 2021, that was its peak, $250 a share.
Yeah.
On Halloween, 2021. And then I told you Christmas 22, it was 10 bucks. And then it didn't do anything really. 10, 20, 30. And then this, you know, end of last year, this year it starts pick them back up. So you, if you bought on a, in Halloween 21, you're still underwater by $50 per coin. Mm. It's coming back, but you would have had to have survived a year and a half, 2 years, around $10 a coin.
Yeah.
And you got to have the stomach for it. If you are going to have a long-term view and it's something like you had mentioned, I'm thinking about just keeping my Bitcoin for my kids. I've got two sons. And like, I just kind of want almost like an experiment to see how much this 0.15 Bitcoin is going to be, you know, in 2070, you know, for the kids to just, you know, hopefully it pays for college. But
yeah, so
I hold my breath.
I'm just looking here. So my little SHIB play money in the last 20,
Shiba Inu?
Yeah. Like in the last 24 hours, it's down like 6%. Like that's savage in the real world.
That would be huge news headlines.
That's right. But I've got, what have I got at the moment? I've got 3,800 Australian in there. And will I lose it all? I might. Will I try and make, you know, $500? I might. And if I, you know, if I, and this is the thing, when with the movement so volatile and swinging all the time, if you're not actually watching it, you're screwed. Or
you're better off. Or you're better off. Really long term.
Well, and that was, I guess, my 2 cents on this. If you are going to put some money into a crypto long term play, I honestly believe you need to buy your coins or your allocation and just delete the app, move on. Like, don't live in it because you'll do dumb stuff. And that's why I keep my allocation very small relatively.
All right, as we wrap, keep it small, make some wise choices. If you have crazy FOMO like me, again, like Glenn said, just kind of don't forget your password, but don't look at it every day. As we close, I want to go on the record because this will be digitized forever.
Oh my gosh.
At least until something crazy happens. So we think that 23, 24, 25 are all going to be bull run years for Bitcoin. What is the price going to be New Year's Eve 2025 for Bitcoin?
Well, are you asking me what I think?
I'm asking you, and then I'll give you my prediction, or I can give you mine first if you want.
No, okay, what we're going to do, just so we don't copy, I'm going to write mine down. And then, because then it's like, okay, so New Year's Eve, not, so almost 18 months time.
Yeah, but right, you know, because we think it's going to tank in 2026 if it, you know, follows this pattern.
Okay. All right.
This is great radio as we
write. Yeah, that's right. All right. USD. Okay. What did you write down?
USD. 3.
Wow. Okay.
All right. 125. Wow. Yeah. Just so you guys can't read what we wrote and we're showing each other. Glenn James goes on the record for December 31st, 2025, Bitcoin at $125,000.
So basically
Nick
doubling.
Bradley, doubling from here. Nick Bradley goes on record, $220,000.
Wow.
I hope that I'm right.
So does that, okay, so am I like clicking end and stop and they're just going and putting the farm into Bitcoin?
Oh, as always, do your own research.
But okay, just this is the problem I've got with all this money crap online, right? Do your own research. Most people don't know how to do their own research anyway. It's a cop-out.
Well, that's what you make us say. So that's what I say.
I've never ever made you say, tell them to do their own research. Give me a break. I don't, but yeah, all that to say, if you are going to do this stuff, you don't have consumer debt. You've got an emergency fund. You're not putting more than 2 to 5% of your net worth into such a speculative asset. So we've just had this chat about cryptocurrency, right? You could insert NBA playing cards in the asset class here. If you think it's going up 2 to 5% of your net worth, maybe 2% because there's no listed ETF of NBA playing cards. But this is hugely speculative. But we do know, and my own view is, because there has been serious institutional money move into the actual Bitcoin itself, it's probably not going anywhere. Am I putting $300,000 in tomorrow? No, but I might. No, I'm definitely not. I'm
And again, we'll reap, and actually I will not replay this in 5 years because I'll be kicking myself, but I just don't have the I just don't have the risk profile to stomach it. I don't know. It's so weird, this. And that's why I'll just keep on keeping on and do my investing in broad-based ETFs and build wealth, not speculate with wealth. And that's the
difference, isn't it, Nick? What, building and speculating?
Yeah. Because if someone jumps on and says, we know, like we've just given you two numbers, we've plucked them out of our ass. We've got no idea. This is speculation.
I just took what Kathy Woods, the manager of ARK Funds, said, and I divided by four.
She's very
She thinks it's going to be a million.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't see it being a million in 2 years. That's a bit rich.
No, definitely not. But maybe by the time my kids retire in. But either way, if you truly believe that, maybe start, if you have no consumer debt, maybe start putting $10 a week. Don't think about it. Put it on auto buy and just kind of see what happens. And
yeah.
If it is 220 by December 31st, remember we told you to probably sell because 2026, if it follows record, is going to be a bad year.
Mm.
Glenn, thanks for joining today. Thank you for all of your wisdom, your wit, especially your experience.
I don't think there was much of either.
Well, I learned a new saying, something about a string.
How long's a piece of string, Nick?
How long is a piece of string? You've been listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. We'll see you next week. This podcast is produced and published by Oregon Trail Investor in the USA. All information is for entertainment purposes only. The brand This Is Investing is used under license.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.